Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sota Daf Lamed Beis. We are holding on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We are holding at the very beginning, about to begin the seventh parak of Maseches Sota. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Avishai Elishava Newman, in honor of our entire shul. It is also sponsored by Daniel Goldstein, in memory of his father, Ivan Goldstein, Yitzchak Leib, Ben Mordechai Alevi, and his eighth yard site, which is tomorrow. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to do in this Mishnah, the Mishnah is going to identify these seven different items that have to be said, but can be said b'kol lashon, that even though there's a recitation involved, the recitation can be said in any language, and then it's going to go through a list of eight different items that need to be recited specifically in Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnah is then going to elaborate a little bit on Mikra Bikurim, on Chalitza, on the recitations involved in these things, and it's going to elaborate a lot on the brachos and klalos of Har Grizim and Har Evel, exactly how it played out, who stood where, who said what they did following the recitation of the brachos and the klalos. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to give the source for the idea that the Parsha Sota could be said b'kol lashon. That's why we're having this entire Mishnah, because there's a recitation involved in Sota. So once we're talking about Sota being said b'kol lashon, we mention everything that's said b'kol lashon, everything that's said only b'lashon HaKodesh. So we're going to give the source for the idea that Sota could be said b'kol lashon, and we're also going to identify the content of the conversation. What exactly is said? What exactly is meant by what is said in the recitation of the Sota? Then the Gemara is going to move on to Vidui Meiser. Where do we know that Vidui Meiser could be said b'kol lashon from? What's the source for that? And the Gemara is going to use Vidui Meiser as a basis for the idea that when a person is speaking about their own shevach, their own praises, they should do so b'kol namuch. They should do so in a quiet voice. But when a person is speaking about their gnus, and the Gemara is going to have to specify what exactly we mean by gnus, but when a person is speaking about their gnus, they should do so b'kol ram. The Gemara is going to then have a machlokas about Kriya Shema. Does Kriya Shema said b'kol lashon, or is Kriya Shema only b'lashon HaKodesh? And what does each shita in Tanayim do with the pasuk that seems to indicate otherwise? It seems to indicate like the other shita. So let's begin the beginning of the parak, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So Elu Ne'amar B'kol Lashon. The following things can be said in any which language. That is at least our girsa. That is the girsa that Rashi has. Elu Ne'amar B'kol Lashon. If you notice, the first Rashi says Elu Ne'amar B'kol Lashon Garsinon. That's our girsa. Why is that Garsinon? Because if you look at Tosos, Elu Ne'amarim Bilashonam, not b'kol lashon, but bilashonam. Upirish kol adam bilashono shehu shomeya. Meaning, Tosas's problem with the gears of Rashi is b'kol lashon makes it sound like I can say these items in Swahili, even though I don't speak Swahili. No, it's bilashonam. It's I could say it in English because I speak English. You have to say it in a language that you actually understand. So bilashonam is a more accurate depiction of what the halacha is. Now, Rashi doesn't disagree with that. Rashi also holds you have to be able to understand, but he thinks that the phrase b'chol lashon means, obviously, assuming that you understand that lashon that you are saying it in. And the Gemara is going to bring a makor for each of these items that we're about to say could be said b'chol lashon. Tosfos Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin, has an interesting point. He points out that we're going to have a machlokes in tomorrow's Daf Lamed Gimel, between Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether Kol HaTorah Kulo is B'lashon HaKodesh Ne'emra or B'chol Lashon Ne'emra. What exactly is that machlokes? When it comes to the language that you're supposed to say, the parshios that need to be said, that have a mitzvah's kriya on, like all of these things we're about to identify, can they be said B'chol Lashon, or can they only be said B'lashon HaKodesh? So what's going on over here, says Tosfos, is that when the Gemara brings the makoros for those mitzvos that could be said b'chol lashon, it's assuming like the shita that kol haTorah kulo is b'lashon HaKodesh Ne'emra. So if you assume that kol haTorah kulo is b'lashon HaKodesh Ne'emra, the default is that it's l'shon HaKodesh, and you need a drasha to tell me that it's b'chol lashon. And when the Gemara brings mekoros for those for those mitzvos that could be said b'lashon hakodesh, then it's assuming like the other opinion that kol haTorah kula is b'chala shonemra, and we need a makor for the idea that b'lashon hakodesh, that these items have to be b'lashon hakodesh. But anyway, so let's identify them. So these are the things that could be said not only in lashon hakodesh but in any language. Parsha Sota, the things that the Torah tells us that a kohen has to tell the woman before she drinks the mei sota. The Achronim are medayik from the fact that Rashi says that's what Parsha Sota refers to, that which the kohen speaks to the woman, that clearly it's coming la'afuke, the actual parsha that gets erased in the water. That has to actually be b'lashon hakodesh. That there's no discussion about over here. We're talking about recitations. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva, wait a second, she has to be take a shvua b'shem Hashem if it's going to be said b'chal lashon. So what kind of shem Hashem is that? So the Rashba writes that ein achinami, the shem Hashem has to be b'lashon hakodesh. That element of it has to be b'lashon hakodesh. The rest of it could be b'chal lashon rabbis. That's number one, is Parsha Sota. Second one is v'vidoy meiser, that which is said in the fourth and seventh year of the Shemitah cycle, after a person has fulfilled his obligations and taken all the matanos that belong to whoever, Maaser Rishon to the Levi, Maaser Ani to the Ani, Maaser Sheni to bring to Yerushalayim, and eating it properly over there. So once you've accomplished all of that, you've taken care of whatever leftover Maaser Ani is in your house, and you've given it to the Ani, whatever leftover Maaser Sheni is in your house, you've brought it to Yerushalayim, and all of that. So then you say a vidoy, a special vidoy in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that you're Mekayim everything that that the Torah requires of you. What does it mean that you say lefnei Hashem? So pashtus lefnei Hashem always means in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam in Hilchos Maaser Sheni, Perek Yud Aleph, writes that bizmana bayis lichatchila, it needed to be said in the Beis HaMikdash. It says v'yamarta lefnei Hashem elokecha. But the Rambam says, if you didn't do it in the Beis HaMikdash, you're still Yotzei, because Lefnei Hashem is just the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. The Rebbe disagrees. He says, Me'echitei said it's only the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. It says Lefnei Hashem, it's got to be in the Beis HaMikdash. That's where one recites this Vidui Meiser. So you say that you fulfilled everything that the Torah requires of you, and you could say that in any which language. The Rishonim already, and some of the Achronim much more so, struggle with why it's called Vidui Meiser. If you look at the content of what you say, you basically say, I've done everything properly. You say, I didn't forget anything. I fulfilled all the mitzvahs. Doesn't sound like a vidui at all. So the Sforno writes, no, but the very idea that all of these matanos go to anybody else except for the Bechorim, that really it should have been the Bechoros were the ones that should have been doing the avodas in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they should have been ones that should have been entitled to the matanos, and it's only because of our sins that had to be transferred to Kohanim and Leviim, and therefore it's a vidoy from a collective Klal Yisrael sense that our sins led to a change in the plan of where these items go. Others suggest, they say in the name of Salvechik, that vidoy means an honest assessment, that a person has to be able to take an honest look inside of themselves. That very often, we spoke about yesterday in the drasha, very often we're not so good at assessing ourselves, and we think we always have all sorts of defense mechanisms to explain why our mistakes weren't really mistakes and we really did everything right. And vidoy is hard. Vidoy means that a person has to honestly look at themselves. So, and sometimes that means identifying what we've done right also. Meaning if a person is able to give an honest assessment, even when we do things right, and they'll be able to give an honest assessment when he does things wrong also, that's all considered a vidui in a certain sense. Then a third item that could be said, b'kal lashon, Kriya Shema, the three parshios of Shema, could be said b'kal lashon. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kriya Shema Perek Beis that someone who says it in another language, he still has to be medaktik b'osiyoseha, because the Gemara dashes from the pasuk v'limadtem that it has to be a kriya tama, that it has to be a complete kriya in a complete way. So if one is going to say Kriya Shema in English, the Rambam says that one has to say it in the Queen's English. One has to say it perfectly, with perfect diction. That's the way Kriya Shema is meant to be said in whichever language one is going to say Kriya Shema. Now, it happens to me, we paskin karvalo diktik bos yoseha, you yod say the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And so people gave me some feedback. I kept on saying over from Rabbi Reisman that in the first word of the first parasha of Kriya Shema, via hafta, that if you say via hafta, then you're not yotze Kriya Shema, because via hafta means and you loved. Via hafta means and you should love. That the mila el milra really matters. So someone pointed out to me, but it says karav lo diktek bo siyoseha, that you yotze Kriya Shema, even if you're not medaktik bo siyoseha. Yeah, that's when it doesn't change the meaning of the word. But if it changes the meaning of the word, then you're not yotze. And over here, it actually changes the meaning of the word. Meaning, if you read it b'chal lashon, you can't just say anything b'chal lashon. You have to say a precise translation b'chal lashon. So it has to be the actual words, the actual meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended. Anyway, tefila also, the nusach of the Shemona Esrei that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola were misakin, that we say three times a day, can also be b'chal lashon. The Gemara is going to tell us that that's dafka when it comes to a tzibur, but a yachid has to be mispelled dafka b'lashon HaKodesh, and the Mishabur and Simon Kuf Aleph pares that down a little bit. He says even b'tzibur, the mitzvah min amuvchar is to say a b'lashon HaKodesh. And the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Orach Chaim Simon Pei Dalid where he says that yeah, and the fact that the Mishnah allows davening b'lashon b'kalashon is dafka ba'akra'i, but it's an isur gomer to do that b'kvius. Of course, the Chasam Sofer is dealing with the reform and all of those inroads, and therefore he's trying to say that that's even though they have a Mishnah to point to change some of the tefilos into the language, the spoken language, he says they have no Mishnah to point to. The Mishnah is telling us ba'akra'i, one is allowed to do that, but b'kvius, one is not allowed to do that. And then the fifth item on the list of birch samazon, the nusach of the bracha the Anshei Knesset HaGedola and Mesakein to recite birch samazon could also be b'kal lashon. And then the sixth one is Shavuos HaEdus, a person who someone else is Tovea, that he should say Edus for him about a particular Maisa that he's aware of. And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any Edus. So he says, yes, swear to me that you don't know any Edus. And he swears that he doesn't know any Edus. And then it turns out that he lied in issuing that Shavua, and he really did know Edus. So he has to bring a Karbon Olah V'Yoreid. So that Shavua that we're Mashpia him is B'kal Lashon Shu Mavin. And then the seventh and final item on the list of things that can be said b'kal lashon is a shvuas ha-pikadon, a person who someone says, you have a pikadon that belongs to me, and the fellow says, I don't have anything that belongs to you, and he makes him take a shvua. So if he then admits later on that he had sworn falsely and that he really did have the pikadon, he pays a keren v'chomesh to the nigzal, and he brings an asham gzelos to the Beis HaMikdash, and that shvua that the meshpia him is b'kal lashon. But the following eight items must be said dafka b'lashon HaKodesh. Number one, mikra bikurim, when a person brings the first fruits of his field to Yerushalayim, so the Kohen waves the fruits and puts them in front of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Then the Bailim takes the peros and in his hands, and he says a particular parsha that the Torah tells us that he has to say, right? The parsha of Arami Oviravi, right? That's the parsha that the whole Agada is based on. That's mikra bikurim. And the second thing that said b'lashon HaKodesh, Chalitza, that when a Yavama says to the Beis Din that her husband's brother is not interested in marrying her, so v'alsa yivim to hashar al zkenim v'omra, and she says, me'ein yavami lahakim la'achiv shem b'Yisrael, lo ava yabmi, and the Cholitz then says, lo chafatzti lakachta, and then she does the Chalitza, and she spits in front of him, and she says, so there's a whole back and forth, there's a whole conversation that has to happen. That conversation has to happen b'lashon HaKodesh. And third, brachos uklalos. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they went to Argrizim and Arevel, and they had the Levim said brachos and klalos. Brachos from those who are mekayim the mitzvos, klalos for those who are not mekayim the mitzvos. And they were mekabel everything with a shavua. So the nusach of those brachos and klalos have to dafka be said b'lashon HaKodesh. The Shema b'limudim raises the question that why is it that the Mishnah has to tell us what lashon the Levim said the brachos and klalos. Kalos, we're talking about something that already happened many, many, many years ago. We're not going back to Arbis and Harivel, meaning Maida Hava Hava. I understand everything else. These are mitzvos ledoros, but the Rachos and Kalos and Arbis and Harivel are not mitzvos ledoros. So he points out that we're going to see in the Gemara that most of the other things that have to be said b'lashon hakodesh are derived from Arbis and Harivel. So we want to get into the details of Arbis and Harivel. We want to identify Arbis and Harivel because that's the source for many of the other items that are said b'lashon hakodesh. Fourth item on the list, Birchas Kohanim. The three psukim of Birchas Kohanim, when the Kohanim are Mevarich Liyam, is b'lashon hakodesh. Birchas Kohen Gadol, after the Kohen Gadol finishes his avod on Yom HaKippurim, he goes into the Azara and he reads from the Torah and he says eight brachos, and that's the takan of the Anshei Knesset HaGadola. Those brachos also need to be said b'lashon hakodesh. And then number six on the list, Uparshas HaMelech, on Motzai Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkis in the eighth year, the year following Shemitah, all of the Jewish people, Nashim, Vitaf, would gather in the Azara, the Beis HaMikdash, and the king would read from Sefer Devarim to the people. In the Tiferes Yisrael, he points out, you know, if you look carefully at the description of Hakel, it never says that the king is the one that reads. It just says that the Torah is read. So the Tiferes Yisrael, the Mishnayos, points out that even though it never says that the mitzvah's kriya is mutal on the melech, the chachamim were koveya that the melech should be the one to read it in order to give proper kavod the Torah. But the implication is that if there is no melech, or a melech is unable to read it, that someone else who is chashuv, a kohen gadol, a rosh Sanhedrin, someone else who is a universally recognized chashuv person, would be the person to read that. But we call it parshas hamelech because ideally it should be the melech, even though the Torah never says that it has to be the melech. And number seven, parshas egla arufa, when you find a dead body in between two cities, you don't know who killed it, so the zakenim of the closer city go down to the Nachal Eson and they do an arifa of an eglas bakar, and they have a recitation. They're supposed to say Yadeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh ve'einenu lo ra'u kaper li'amcha Yisrael asher pedis Hashem v'al titen dam naki bekerav amcha Yisrael. That's got to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. And number eight, Moshuach Mulchama b'shah shemedaber al ha'am. Every Mulchama that Klal Yisrael go out to fight, whether it's Mulchama's mitzvah or Mulchama's rishus, there was a Kohen who was appointed as the Moshuach Mulchama who would go and give a pep talk and give a speech to rally up the troops. We're going to have a whole parak called Moshuach Mulchama that just elaborates on these two words in the Mishnah. And he tells them, Shema Yisrael atem kreivim hayom lamulchama, you're about to fight a war, al yerech levavchem, you should be brave, you shouldn't be faint of heart, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, he's going to fight with you in my veichel Mashiach eschem. So he gives them this whole speech. It's not the only speech they got. There are other things in the Hemshech of the Parsha. There are other psukim that talk about who's exempt from the war, right? V'dibur ha-shotrim el ha'am le'mar mi'a ish asher bana bayis chadosh v'lo chanacho yelich v'yashav v'beiso pen yamos v'lochama mi'a ish ha-yari v'rach ha-levav, right, etc. So we have all that, but that, the Pasuk says, the shotrim say. So the Gemara on Mem Gimel in Perek Moshuach Mulchama is going to tell us that those psukim are said al yidei the Kohen Moshuach, but then the shotrim repeated to the Am. Meaning the Kohen Moshuach says it to the shotrim, then the shotrim repeat that to the Am. What we're identifying over here right now is the initial part of the speech, which is said directly from the Moshuach Mulchama to the Am. So the question is, what about those psukim? Do they also need to be said to Lashon HaKodesh? So the Rashash writes, and the Chaschinuch as well, that the Tana over here says, Moshuach Mulchama b'sha'a shemidaber el ha'am. That's the Lashon of our Mishnah. B'sha'a shemidaber el ha'am. The only time he's medaber el ha'am directly is the initial speech. The following speech about whoever's potter from Mulchama, whoever planted a vineyard or got married, all of that stuff, that was not medaber el ha'am. That was to the shotrim, and then the shotrim to the am. So maybe that doesn't have to be b'lashon hakodesh. That's the ha'ara of the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. So now the Mishnah elaborates on some of these items. Mikra bikurim ketzad. How do I know the mikra bikurim has to be dafka b'lashon hakodesh? Because it says v'anisa v'amart l'vnei Hashem elokecha and ulalanu omer. And when it comes to the brachos and klalos, our grizim are evil. It says v'anu halavim ve'amru. So malah halal, and just like by our grizim are evil, it's b'lashon hakodesh. Afkan so. mikra bikurim, it's b'lashon hakodesh. Chalitza keitzad. How do we know chalitza needs to be b'lashon hakodesh? V'yansa v'yamra, it says. V'lalanu omer, and by brachas klalos, it says, v'anu alevi'im v'amru. This is what I was referring to before. We said that many of the others are derived from Hargrizim and Harevel. And that's why we have to point out Hargrizim and Harevel. So z'vanu alevi'im v'amru, malalon, just like by the brachas klalos, it's b'lashon hakodesh. So afkan, so too by the nusach of the chalitza, it's b'lashon hakodesh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you don't need a gzeir shava from the brachas and klalos. Tell me the mitzvah chalitza, that the kriya of the chalitza is b'lashon hakodesh. You can learn it from the parsha of chalitza itself. It says the ansa the amra kacha. So we darshin that achetomer b'lashon hazeh kacha. It needs to be like this. So it's got to be dafka in this language. It's not what the pasuk really says. If you read the ansa the amra. This is what we do to the man who, it's described, and it means the maisa of the chalitza itself and the spitting. But that's one of the mitzvahs Shatar and Drashas Ben is to put a comma in the wrong place and to read a pasuk that way. You have drashas like that all over Shas. So this is how we're darshaning. So the Mishnah explains how the Har Grizim Har Evel, how the brachos of klalos worked on Har Grizim Har Evel. The Mishnah is going to get into some detail. And in the rest of the parak and in prakim that follow this to the end of the Masechta, we're going to go through many of the mitzvos that are mentioned in our Mishnah. We're going to go into detail about Birchas Kohanim and the Birchas Kohen Gadol and the Parshas HaMelech and the Mishloach Melchama and the Egla Aruf. That's pretty much what the rest of this Mishnah sets the tone for the rest of the Masechta. So that's pretty much where we go from here. Now, when it comes to Mikra Bikurim and Chalitza, the Mishnah doesn't go into the great detail about how they do Mikra Bikurim and how they do chalitza, because there are many, many details, and they have their own masechtas for that. There's a masechta called Bikurim, and there's a masechta called Yevamos, and the same is true when it comes to the things at the beginning of the Mishnah that could be said b'kol lashon. The dinim of sota we already discussed. That's what the first six prakim of this masechta were all about. Were the dinim of sota vidu meiser. You have maseches meiser sheni kriya shema tefila birchas hamazon. You have maseches brachos shvuos ha'edus shvuos ha'bikadon. We have maseches shvuos. So we're not going to go into detail in the Mishnayos about the items that are already covered in other Masechtas. The Mishnayos are only going to go into details about the items that aren't covered in other Masechtas. So even though they're not Sota related, but there's no other Masechta that deals with them, so that's why we go into some detail. So the Brachos and Klalos, Hargrizim Harevel, obviously there's no Masechtas Hargrizim Harevel. So we have to go into detail over here. So Brachos and Klalos, Ketzad, how did they do the Brachos and Klalos? So came and Shavu Yisrael to say Yardin, when Klal Yisrael went through the Yardin, and they arrived at Hargrizim Harevel Shabishomron, which is near the border of the Shomron, the area of the Shomron, Shabitzad Shchem, Shabitza Elone Mora, which is near Shchem, next to Elone Mora. Those mountains are close to the city of Shchem in the plains of Mora, that even though it doesn't mention Shchem by the Brachos and Klalos, Elon Mora is Shchem. How do I know that? Shenemar, because the pasuk in the parsha of the Brachos and Klalos, when it describes the location of Hargrizim Harevel, says Halohema be'ever Yarden, and it goes on to say, it doesn't quote over here, but Achrei Derech Meva Shemesh Beretz Akrani Yoshev Barav Mul Gilgal Eitzel Elone Mora. It says Elone Mora Ula Lanu Omer, and the pasuk in Bereishis says in Parshlech Ve'aver Avram Ba'aretz Ad Mekom Shchem. Ad Elon Mora. So Ma Elon Mora Omer Lalan Shchem, Af Elon Mora Omer Kan Shchem. Just like Elon Mora over there in Sefer Bereishis is Shchem, so to be here when it says Elon Mora Beferish in the pasuk, it must be a reference to Shchem. So they got to these mountains. Shisha Shvatim Alul Rosh Har Grizim. So six of the Shvatim ascend Har Grizim. Shimon Levi Yehuda Yisachar Yosef Binyamin. That's what the Chumash tells us which six it was. They ascend Har Grizim. The Pashtus is that they go all the way to the top of the mountain. However, the Rishonim point out it means they go onto the slope of the mountain because they have to still hear what's going on. So they have to be within earshot. So they're not all the way on the top of the mountain. Vishisha Shvatim Alul Rosh Harevel. And the other six go on top of Harevel. Ruven, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Va'kwanim, Va'levim, Va'aron, Omdom, Mamata, Vyamsa. And the Kwanim and the Levim and the Aron stand on the in between the mountain, the valley between the new mountain. the two mountains in the middle. Wait a second, the Levium were part of the group that went up on Har Grizim. It was Shimon Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Binyamin. So what does it mean that the Levium were Be'emsa? So even though Shevet Levi was on Har Grizim, the Gemara is going to say on Daf Lamed Zayin that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, only the Zikne Kohanim of Levium stayed with the Aron in the valley, and the others, the younger people and the less Chashava people, were on the mountain. The rest of the Shevet was on Har Grizim. According to Rabbi Yoshia, anyone who was roiling the Shares stayed Lamata, and everyone else was Lamaila. So anyone who was able to serve as a Levi was Lamata, was in the valley, and everyone else from the Shevet. So the entire Shevet Levi was not in one place. It was split in some way or another. So Akwanim Akifnes Aaron, the Kwanim would surround the Aaron, Velevim is Kwanim, and the Levim surrounded the Kwanim. Vekol Yisrael Mikan Mikan, and the rest of Klal Yisrael were on these two mountains on either side. Shenemar, Vekol Yisrael is Kenav, Vishotrim, Vishoftav Omdim, Mizeh Umizeh, La Aaron, and it describes, Nekon Okalim Velevim, No Se Aaron Bris Hashem. Right, that they had half a Klal Yisrael Har Grizim, half an Har Eval, and a group of Levim together with the Aron in the center. So Haftu Pneim Kalbei Har Grizim Pascha B'Bracha. The Levim turned toward Har Grizim and they started with the Bracha Baruch Isha Shaliyasa Pesel Masecha Ve'elu Anim Amen. And then the Shvatim on both mountains answered Amen. Hafku Pneim Kalbei Har Eval Pascha B'Kala. Then they turned toward Har Eval and they started with the Klalos. Or Isha Shayasa Pesel Masecha Ve'elu, and then both the Shvatim on Har Grizim and the Shvatim on Har Eval Onin Amen. And so Amen Atcha Gomer Brachsu Klalos until they completed all of the brachzu klalos. And then the Bnei Yisrael brought the avanim that they took from the Yardin, like the Torah said they're supposed to take these avanim from the Yardin. Ubanu as hamizbeach, and they built a mizbeach on Har Eval. The Iun Yaakov writes that the reason they built a mizbeach dafka on Har Eval as opposed to on Har Grizim is in order to be mechaper for the arurim that were said toward Har Eval. And also, Har Grizim had a maila that the brachos were said. Har Evel didn't, so we're trying to make it up to Har Evel to sort of even things out, says the Yin Yaakov. So that's why they built this mizbeach on Har Evel. The sadu besid, and they put plaster on it so that they could write, you know, a white background. They could write on it. V'kasval love called divrei Torah, and they wrote out the entirety of the Torah. Ramban in Sefer Devarim quotes Rav Sadia Gaon that it doesn't mean they wrote out the entirety of the Torah. It means that they wrote out the Taryag Mitzvos. That the Taryag Mitzvos said these are our responsibilities. So that's a symbolic of the entirety of the Torah, but they didn't actually write out the entirety of the Torah. But the Ramban himself says, no, they wrote out the entirety of the Torah from Bereshis until Le'ene Kol Yisrael. And he says these must have been gigantic stones, or it was Maisa Nisim that they were able to do this. Tos Yom Tov writes that which they wrote in Targum L'Shivim Lashon B'Yom Echad is also Maisa Nisim. Because they wrote, Kasval is called the Vir Torah, B'Shivim Lashon. What rocks are big enough to write? B'Shivim Lashon. So Ramban says, it must have been Maisa Nisim. But they wrote the whole thing B'Shivim Lashon. And as the Tos Yom Tov adds, the fact that they were able to write the whole thing B'Shivim Lashon in a single day is a Maisa Nisim. The whole thing is a Maisa Nisim. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Be'er Heitev. It says, V'chasavta al-Avonim. It's called the Vriat Torah Zos. Be'er Heitev. So Be'er Heitev means in a way that everyone could understand it, no matter what language you speak. And then V'natlos Avonim, then they took these stones, Uva'u V'lanu B'makoman. And they brought it near to Gilgal, near the Yard, where they set up the stones again, and then they went to sleep in Gilgal. That's where they spent that night. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Parsha Sota Minolan. How do I know that Parsha Sota could be said by the Kohen to the woman in whichever language? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'amara Kohen Li'isha. Pasuk says, V'amara Kohen Li'isha. So we darshan that, B'kalashan, Shuhu Omer, it's V'amara, whatever the language he wants to say it in, as long as he speaks the language. Tana Rabbanan, so the Braisa elaborates, Mashminos of B'kalashan, she shama'as. She has to be able to understand it. Almahi shows what she did that's causing her to have to drink this water. Ubamehi shows what type of kli she's going to have to drink the water in. Alma nitmes, what types of actions caused her to do these averos in the first place that brought her to tumah. I mean, what people don't do an avera that big in a vacuum. There are other things that were going on in their life already that brought brought them to that kind of avera. Ubamehi nitmeis, and what sort of tuma the mayim is going to be bodek? Not any act of bia will the mayim necessarily be bodek. And the Braisi elaborates. What is the answer to all these questions? Al mahi shose aliska kino istira. Why does she have to drink this? Because the husband was makanir, and then she had a stira. Ubamehi shose b'mikida shalcheres. What does she have to drink in? She needs to drink in a kli cheres, right? We learned back on Daf Tezvav that it's got to be kli cheres chadash, and how we derive that from the psukim. Good. So why it is that she that because she mida keneged mida, right? We learned back earlier Daf Tes or something, right? Where she gave the guy in nice kalim, so she drinks from an ugly kli, from a kli cheres. Al manitmes, what caused her to experience this tuma? Aliske schok v'yaldus, that she acted in a childish way, right? That's also we learned back in Daf Zayin, that when we tell her, we say we understand what you did that led you to this. Harbe yayin osa, harbe yaldus osa. So if you were saying, we understand what the context within which you did this is a sense of tremendous immaturity. And what does it mean, b'mehi nitmeis? B'shogeg or b'mezid, ba'ones or b'ratzon. That whether it was shogeg or mezid, that if she was nitmeis b'shogeg because she thought her husband was dead, then the mayim is not going to be bodek. If she was nitmeis ba'ones, it's some of Rachmanel's son force themselves upon her, that the mayim is not going to be bodek. V'kol kach lama, why do we have to identify what the mayim will not be bodek for? Because we don't want people to think that the mayim amarim doesn't work. So we let it be known that it's only going to do its magic if she was bemezid, if she was beratzon. But if it was beshogig or baones, then it's not going to have the impact on her. Vidur meiser. Now we go on to describe how vidur meiser is bekalasha minala. And how do I know vidur meiser could be said in any language? Because the pasuk says, v'amart l'fnei Hashem l'kecha bi'artia Kodesh min habayis v'yalef amira misota. We learn gzeirah shava of lashon amira that it says by vidur meiser from lashon amira that it says by sota where it says va'amar hakohen le'isha. So just like sota could be b'kal lashon, like we've already explained, so to be vidur meiser b'kal lashon shehu omer, that it could be in any language that that the person wants to say it. So amalei Rav Zid l'abaye. So Rav Zid says abaye, why does the Tana learn vidur meiser from sota that it could be b'kal lashon v'lelef amira? Why don't we learn Amira min Leviim from the Lashon of Amira that it says by the Brachos and Klalos of the Leviim? And therefore it should yield a different halacha. That if we learn it from the Leviim, Ma lahalon b'lashon HaKodesh, by the Leviim it's b'lashon HaKodesh, Afkan b'lashon HaKodesh. So maybe we should say Vidur Meiser has to be b'lashon HaKodesh. Instead of deriving it from Sota, that it could be b'kal Lashon, learn it from the Har Grizim Arevel, that it's got to be b'lashon HaKodesh. So says Mar, no, done in Amira Gredisa, me Amira Gredisa. We learn Vidur Meiser where it says the Lashon of the Amarta from a Gzeres Shava from Sota, where also it says Va'amar. But Vein Don Amir Gredisa, me Ania Va'amira. We can't learn Vidur Meiser where it just says the Lashon of Amira from Brachsel Klaus of the Levium, where it says Va'anu HaLevium Va'amru. So it's a less exact comparison to our Grizim Arevel, because it doesn't just say Amira, it says Va'anu. So now the Gemara tells us a little bit more about Vidur Meiser. Tanya, Reb Shimon Chai Omer, Adam Omer Shivcho Bekol Namuch. In general, when a person is praising himself, he should do so quietly. Ugenuso Bekol Ram. When a person is denigrating himself, he should do that loudly. So Shivcho Bekol Namuch. How do I know that? I mean, Vidur Meiser. I learned that from Vidur Meiser because Vidur Meiser is Lo Avarti Mitzvasecha, Lo Shachachti. I did Kol Asher Tzivisani. I did everything right. So it doesn't say Aloshen of Aniyah by Vidur Meiser, because Aniya would imply that you're saying something loudly. No, you're talking about how great you are, you do that quietly. But Gnus of Bekol Ram, how do I know a person is supposed to speak his Gnus in a loud voice? Mimikra Bikurim, from Mimikra Bikurim, where we talk about the Rishos of Lavna Arami, who is the father of Rachel and Leah, that he wanted to be Oker Asakol, and that Gnus, a person should say Bekol Ram. It says V'yanisa V'yamarta over there. So you see that it's got to be Bekol Ram. So it says more of Gnus of Bekol Ram, should a person generally speak ill of himself in a loud way to publicize all of his averos. Why is it that we daven quietly, then we dafka don't daven in a loud voice? Because very often in tefillah, a person is reciting a vidui. They're recounting their sins that they violated. So you don't want that to be embarrassing for a person to do. So we dafka do it in a quiet voice. And if you want a precedent for that, we find that by the Karmen Chatas and the Karmen Ola, they're both shechted on the northern side of the Azara. And there's not a separate location for a Karmen Chatas, so that if someone sees someone bringing a Karmen, they're not going to automatically know that it's a Chatas. An Ola is an Ola from Dovah. The guy's a tzaddik. Chatas means that he did a really bad Avera. So we don't want to embarrass the guy who's bringing a Karmen Chatas. So you see, we don't go publicizing our Averas. You don't go around telling everybody what Avera you did. That's why tefillah is quiet, and that's why a Chatas is brought in the same place as an Ola. So it says, well, you're right. We don't go around telling anyone our Averos. You don't tell anyone our Averos. First of all, it shouldn't look like we're proud of our Averos. Second of all, we don't want other people who maybe don't violate those Averos to say, oh, he's a pretty good guy and he does those Averos. Maybe I should try some of those Averos. Meaning, right away, as soon as you're exposed to it, it takes down the level of, fear of the Averos Chet that you have of that Avera. So it doesn't mean you go around telling your Averos. It means that if you're struggling with something, that if a person is struggling with something, he has to share it with other people. I was just reading yesterday the hesped that Rav Soloveitchik gave for Rabbi Rifkin, who was a Rebbe in Tarav Adas, who was a Lubavitcher Chassid, and the Rav Soloveitchik was saying how gedolim are generally very to themselves and they don't share so much. But they need somebody to share with. And they also, Dagam Levish HaSichana. And he said, this Rabbi Rifkin happened to have been that the Rebbe Rashab and the Friar Dikar Rebbe would share their tzaros with him. And they find someone that they know, that they can trust, that they can, because everybody needs that. So a person has to say tzara la'acherim. Kiditanya, like the Brisa elaborates, v'tamei tamei yikra, tzaruch lo'diya tzara l'rabim, v'rabim v'akshma l'vrachamim, that you have to let your tzara be known to the rabbim, and then other people will daven for you. V'kol mishayira that anyone who has anything that happens to him, he should let it be known. Going back to the discussion of why we say tefillah quietly, we said not to embarrass the over avera, and we brought a precedent for that. That the Karmen Chatas is brought in the same place Karmen Ola is brought, not to embarrass a guy bringing a Karmen Chatas. So it says more below, is there no chilik between a Karmen Chatas and a Karmen Ola? Vika damin, dam chatas mal dam ola lamata. The Zrikas of Dam is in a different place on the Mizbeach. So it will become obvious whether you have a chatas or an ola. So it says more, Hasam, Kohen Udiyada, who sees that? Only the Kohen sees that. So only the Kohen is going to be in the know whether this is a chatas or an ola. But everybody else is not going to be able to see that. What about the fact that the chatas is a nekeva and the ola is a zachar? Won't everyone be able to see that if you're bringing a nekeva, that it's obvious that you bring a chatas? Hasam is kasa ba'alya. No, but the tail of the animal will cover that makom, so you won't be able to see whether it's a zachar or a nekeva. But people won't easily be able to see. Says Mara, Tenach Kivsa. That's if you decide to bring for your Chatas a Kivsa that has a tail. But Si'ira Ma'ikal Memra, what if you bring a Si'ira that doesn't have this big tail that's going to cover the fact that it's in the Keva? And people will think that people will realize right away that you're bringing a Chatas. So says Mara, well, why did you choose to bring a Si'ira? Hasam Iu to Kamichsum Nashi, Dibayle the Si'ira Kamaisi Si'ira. If a guy didn't want the world to know that he's bringing a Karmen Chatas, let him bring a Kivsa. When he goes, he brings a seira, he's letting the world know that he's bringing a chatas. That's his own problem. So chatas da avodas kachavim to lo sagi dilav seira ma'ikel meimar. Yeah, but what about a chatas that's brought for avodah zarah where it has to be a seira? Says Gemara, yeah, chatas for avodah zarah, he deserves to be a little embarrassed. Hasam nixav nezel tiechin nechaperle. He needs a bigger kapara, so let him be embarrassed a little bit, so that maybe he'll get a better kapara. Then we said kriyashma minalan. How do I know that kriyashma is? It could be said bechalashon because the chsev shema yisra. That it's in any language that you happen to speak. And then the Gemara says, but we have a brisa that has a machlokas. Tanu Rabbanan, Kriya Shema Kichsava, that it should be the way it was written at Har Sinai, meaning B'lashon HaKodesh, and not in any other lashon. Divrei Rabbi, but the Chum omrim b'chol lashon. The Chum say it can be said in any language. So our Mishnah, which says that Kriyat Shema is on the list of things that could be said b'chol lashon, is assuming like the Shita of the Chachamim. So Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into what the basis of Rabbi Shita is, what the basis of the Rabbanan Shita is, what each one does with the other Shita. So Beis Hashem, we'll get into that tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.